The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And we start tonight with a Fox News alert. Justice is coming. A bombshell announcement from the Attorney General Pam Bondi. The DOJ is now launching a strike force to investigate the possible criminal weaponization of the intelligence community under Barack Hussein Obama. Now, this comes only hours after the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, released even more damning evidence against the former Obama administration. And tonight, that is our top story, a very real scandal surrounding a very fake hoax that makes Watergate, frankly, look like a walk in the park. Trump-Russia collusion was a fantasy, a complete lie, phony, false conspiracy theory fed to Democrats and, of course, perpetuated by the state-run legacy media mob by the most corrupt administration in modern history.
There is irrefutable evidence that detail how President Obama and his national security team directed the creation of an intelligence community assessment that they knew was false. They knew it would promote this contrived narrative that Russia interfered in the 2016 election to help President Trump win, selling it to the American people as though it were true. It wasn't. The report that we released today shows in great detail how they carried this out. They manufactured findings from shoddy sources. They suppressed evidence and credible intelligence that disproved their false claims. They disobeyed traditional tradecraft intelligence community standards and withheld the truth from the American people. In doing so, they conspired to subvert the will of the American people who elected Donald Trump in that election in November of 2016. They worked with their partners in the media to promote this lie, ultimately to undermine the legitimacy of President Trump and launching what would be a years-long coup against him and his administration. In fact, this report shows Putin held back from leaking compromising material on Hillary Clinton prior to the election, instead planning to release it after the election to weaken what Moscow viewed as an inevitable Clinton presidency. In the January 2017 intelligence community assessment that President Obama ordered, John Brennan, who was CIA director at the time, and the intelligence community intentionally suppressed intelligence that showed Putin was saving the most damaging material that he had in his possession about Hillary Clinton until after her potential and likely victory. The report goes into great detail about the information that Russia and Putin had on Hillary Clinton, which included possible criminal acts like secret meetings with multiple named U.S. religious organizations in which State Department officials offered, in exchange for supporting Secretary Clinton's campaign for the presidency, significant increases in financing from the State Department. They also had documents that showed the patronage of the State Department to State Department employees who would go and support Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. There were high-level DNC emails that detailed evidence of Hillary's, quote, psycho-emotional problems, uncontrolled fits of anger, aggression, and cheerfulness, and that then Secretary Clinton was allegedly on a daily regimen of heavy tranquilizers. Then CIA Director Brennan and the intelligence community mischaracterized intelligence and relied on dubious substandard sources to create a contrived false narrative that Putin developed a, quote unquote, clear preference for Trump. The Intelligence Committee's oversight report reveals that CIA Director Brennan overruled senior CIA officers who challenged the Obama-ordered intelligence assessment, stating, quote, we don't have direct information that Putin wanted to get Trump elected. Yet, the Obama-directed assessment was published on January 6, 2017, which explicitly stated, quote, we assess Putin and the Russian government aspired to help President-elect Trump's election chances, when possible, by discrediting Secretary Clinton and publicly contrasting her unfavorably to him. End of quote. The CIA and FBI, then led by John Brennan and James Comey, expressed high confidence in this judgment, while the NSA expressed moderate confidence. Yet, as the report we released today shows, the ICA, the intelligence community assessment, did not cite any report where Putin indicated helping Trump win was an objective. The opposite is true.
Do you believe that any of this new information implicates former President Obama in criminal behavior?
We have referred and will continue to refer all of these documents to the Department of Justice and the FBI to investigate the criminal implications of this.
For even former President
evidence,
Obama?
Correct. The evidence that we have found and that we have released directly point to President Obama leading the manufacturing of this intelligence assessment. There are multiple pieces of evidence and intelligence that confirm that fact.
The entire Trump one presidency was embroiled in this scandal that was perpetuated by the Democrat Party. And you had major Democrat Party officials in this city, namely Adam Schiff, Hillary Clinton, Elizabeth Warren, who went on television and told the American people, Donald Trump is an asset of Russia. It was a lie. They always knew it. Hillary Clinton herself said that President Trump would be a puppet for Putin. Senator Tim Kaine at the time called President Trump Vladimir Putin's defense lawyer. Adam Schiff stated, and one of the worst things a lawmaker can do is to tell the American people, I know something you don't know, it's just classified and I can't tell you. And that's what he said. I can tell you that the case is more than that. I can't go into the particulars, but there is more than circumstantial evidence now. And not enough people in this room, not enough journalists in this country pushed Adam Schiff to say, what are you talking about? What evidence do you have? Everybody just ran with the lies, and it led to impeachments. It led to the division of our country. Unfortunately, so many Americans from listening to outlets in this room believed in these lies, and it's a complete scam, and it's a scandal, and the president wants to see accountability for that.
Wow. It just gets better. More revelations. The press conference went on yesterday, I think, for about a half hour. And the press secretary, she stepped in and slammed the media and the dear leader. I mean, could this go all the way to Obama? That's correct. This is really unbelievable to watch this. Nobody could have predicted this. Even a few years ago, maybe not even a year ago. Of course, we didn't know all the ins and outs, but we certainly knew that God was going to silence Obama, that God was going to expose Obama. And now, I mean, you've got all these people. Hannity was there at the top saying that, people are actually going to go to jail. Again, we've got to wait and see. But I mean, this is relentless. She's not backing down. You know, we here at camp, we heard a message last week about Joshua, who succeeded Moses, and just the courage that he had to and the obedience and the faith. And I mean, to a certain degree, you have to respect Tulsi Gabbard's courage. I mean, she is looking at a lion in the face, and she's rising with her own lion-like courage as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to rumble.com/trumpetdaily. I just returned from giving a forum to our lovely ladies here at the summer educational program, so not as much time to prepare notes for today's show, but we do have a lot of clips. I'll have to let the clips do most of the talking for me today. Also, we have a special segment lined up for the last 20 or 21 minutes of the show. We had, 10 campers, SEP campers, come in yesterday. Sam Livingston, our producer, he was right here in the studio talking with them, asking them about their camp experiences, lessons learned. So if you're excited about all that we teach these young people, you're going to get to see some of the young people themselves. That's our greatest advertisement, just seeing God working in the lives of these precious young people. So that's at the end of today's show. As I say, we'll have more video than usual, but still, I mean, I'm watching this press conference yesterday, and it's just stunning. This 2020 document, the review, you know, just again, to make a point as an aside here, it's put together, I think as we understand it, it's put together by Devin Nunes, and he's not in Congress anymore, but he was the one that blowed the whistle on this hoax back with his memo in 2018. And then he's the one, as I understand it, that's behind this review that then, because they didn't have, you know, a majority of Republicans in the House, then Adam Schiff just made sure that, you know, it's tucked away in a vault somewhere in the CIA. And so we've never seen it. I mean, as I said yesterday, that was classified, top secret, the review of all this corruption, the corrupt hoax itself. I mean, that was right out front. Everybody could see that. Obama was proud of it. Propaganda. He had the regime media ready to roll with it. And they did. And they did it with gusto. I mean, they did it with some excitement and energy. And for all these years, it's astounding, really, when you think about how quickly, I mean, just take leaking that intelligence assessment on December 9th. We heard Matt Taibbi yesterday make the very same point we've been making for days now. That on the very day, December 9, 2016, that Obama ordered the review, they leaked the content of this review to Washington Post and the New York Times. They put it out before the assessment was even started because they knew. How damning is that? Just looking at all this evidence now, who leaked it? Well, then you look at the truth as it was uncovered in 2020, and I'm like, well, where's Devin Nunes or somebody that's not out there sounding the alarm or at least leaking it if he can't do it publicly? But here are these Republicans who are so careful to abide by the rules. And then you got the other side that they're like a sieve. I mean, and they leak lies. And the regime media spreads it around the earth. And finally, it's being exposed. I don't see how some of these Republicans couldn't leak, you know, or go to Sean Hannity or somebody, the Federalist, and say, listen, we just had this confidential review, and Obama's a traitor. Obama committed treason. They made it up. They weaponized the intel agencies. And look at the damage that they've caused the country. I mean, this happened 9 years ago, and it's only now being exposed. It's pretty amazing. You know, Trey Gowdy, he went from being in Congress to now a Fox News host. And he's there, like I said yesterday, Eli Lake, Andy McCarthy. They're just kind of brushing all this aside. Well, there's really nothing new here. I mean, we've known about these crimes. Oh, really? Well, what did you do about it? You see, it's almost like Tulsi Gabbard is single-handedly making Pam Bondi. She's got this new task force now, and in some ways, you look at that, and you're all right, yeah, here's another agency or a department or an investigation, when there should be indictments, because there's people in the DOJ, in the FBI, that have been sitting on this for years. They know the facts of the case. Kash Patel's written a book about it, calling them gangsters. Schiff, Obama, Brennan, Comey, you go, McCabe, Strzok, Page. We know who the criminals are. We know who the traitors are. And so where are the indictments? We'll see. We'll see. Maybe this task force will actually do something. But that said, it's almost as if Tulsi Gabbard is single-handedly forcing Bondi's play here. Like, you have to do something with this. This is corruption of the highest order. This was directed from the very top. The dear leader, caught in the act, as President Trump has often said. Fox News says the Justice Department has formed a strike force, I like the name, to assess the evidence publicized by the DNI Tulsi Gabbard, relating to former President Barack Obama and his top national security and intelligence officials' involvement in the origins of the Trump-Russia collusion narrative. The Department of Justice Wednesday evening, last night, I guess, announced the formation of Strike Force to investigate potential next legal steps, which may stem from Gabbard's recent declassification of records suggesting that the Obama administration officials manufactured intelligence to form the narrative that then-candidate Donald Trump was colluding with Russia to influence the 2016 presidential election. It just won't go away. That's why the radical left heads are exploding. That's why, as I said yesterday, they have to talk about this now, because it's everywhere. Because Tulsi Gabbard's coming out, a surprise guest, right there in front of the press corps at the White House. All of these journalists from the regime media, most of them, and they're there, and they got to hear it. And they're shocked. You can't just throw around the word treason like we did for 9 years. That's not presidential. Now, if Obama does it or Brennan, I mean, that's okay. Listen to MSNBC freaking out over the thought of actually targeting a former president. Again, these people, the self-awareness, there's zero self-awareness. Listen to clip 10.
Administration is doing a couple of things here. They are conflating something that the Obama administration never said happened, an idea that Russia actually hacked voting machines, right, and changed votes and successfully, you know, changed a vote tally. That would, to accuse the former president of, I think as Tulsi Gabbard put it, seditious treason, which is an incredible charge. And one of the reasons, last thing I'll say, that this lands a bit differently in this moment is when we were covering Trump in 2016, Katie, he would say, lock her up, and his crowd would chant, lock her up about Hillary Clinton. But very few people actually believed that he would do that. And he, more importantly, when he became president, he was not surrounded by people who were willing to do that. But we have seen a different Trump return to office with a different set of people around him who have so far in the first 6 months shown a real willingness to push the boundaries of what is acceptable, from defying court orders to withdrawing security details from people who need them.
They're crossing a lot of lines. They clearly feel empowered by decisions like the one from the Supreme Court last year giving Donald Trump immunity.
They're crossing a lot of lines. But, you know, in the middle there, this gal on the right, I don't know who she is, but she says, you know, when he said lock her up before 2016, everybody knew he wasn't really serious about it. Well, even Trump said this week that he was nice to Hillary. But this woman can see now that, like I said yesterday, something's a little different this time around. It's as if someone knows that if you don't punish these traitors, as soon as they return to power, they're going to pick up where they left off. They went as far as trying to assassinate Donald Trump. As far as like a complete lack of self-awareness. Listen to this next one, also from MSNBC, clip 9.
I mean, there's the risk of, as we've seen, he has an incredible ability to rile up his supporters with threats of violence. January 6th is one example. So these statements don't go into a vacuum. That's certainly the biggest risk. And anyone he names and anyone he puts out, again, the former president, Barack Obama, he has a lot of Secret Service still. He has a lot of protection. But it is worth noting just how extreme it is for a current president to share on social media a meme or a video of a previous president, you know, getting, and a black man as well, getting handcuffed in the Oval Office, a mugshot of Barack Obama. This is not what president do.
Yeah, presidents don't. They don't send out memes. They don't send out a meme, especially since he's a black man. Got to pull the race card out. There you go. You heard it. Your side tried to murder Donald Trump. Just wrap your mind around that for a second. They tried to assassinate him twice. Twice. And here they are droning on. After years of hearing about insurrection and coup and seditious conspiracy, yes, and even treason, Now they're just like, this crosses a line. No, you crossed it about a million times. You've been crossing it for the last 9 years. You've compared him to Hitler. And now the chickens are coming home to roost. Now they're being exposed as the real insurrectionists, the real traitors. This next montage goes on for more than 7 minutes. We'll cut it off around the 4 minute mark. But listen to these talking heads as they almost gleefully talk about President Trump being guilty of treason. So think about this the next time you hear them just appalled. did Tulsi say treason? I mean, she's aiming that at a black man. You can't do that. That crosses a line. Play the short version of number 13.
Hi, Nicole. Hi. It's not just it's only Wednesday. It's like, what is it, February 2nd? February 2nd, right?
Yeah. I
mean, man, whew.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know, it's just like it's early in the year and we've had enough traitorous and treasonous activity revealed over the last 1 month and a couple days to last a lifetime, let alone a year.
Because what you have is the President of the United States asking the Georgia Secretary of State to find votes to steal an election and to just really, I think, sabotage our democracy. That is not only criminal, it is psychotic. In a sense, and I think that
it's treason.
It's treasonous. It is treasonous. He's trying to stage a coup.
I try to say what I think is true, and also not to be totally hyperbolic, right? Like, I don't think I've used the word treason before about Donald Trump. Someone will figure out if I have at some point in the course of his presidency and up till now. And many people would say I should have a long time ago, but I just don't really understand how the totality of the picture that we now have doesn't amount to textbook definitions of what treason is.
I was surprised that you had people like Mark Meadows and other government employees helping him try to stage a coup.
The United States is being run by liars and wimps catering to a tyrannical president who is actively advancing our arch adversary's nefarious interests. So, Ambassador Rice, my question to you, so is it incompetence or treason?
They're not necessarily mutually exclusive. Let me say that.
I mean, treason in the Constitution, you know, talks about levying war against these United States, adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. Most people understand it as the attempt to overthrow a legitimate government. Now, it's true that Donald Trump, in the context of this, when January 6th happened, he was still president of the United States. And yet, you know, trying to overthrow a legitimate democratic process that the incoming president who's been validated as the legal occupant, next occupant of the Oval Office, is the equivalent of that.
Article 3, right, in Section 3 of the Constitution says this: treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. So no president has ever been charged with treason, Douglas. Do you believe the president's actions fall anywhere within that definition?
The spirit of what Trump did is clearly treasonous. It's a betrayal of the United States.
And it's tragic and outrageous. You know, some have said that it's treasonous. You know, people can make their own judgments about that. But when the Russian television is playing the words of cable television hosts in America to support what Putin is doing, when a former president of the United States is championing this kind of outrageous behavior.
This is just really extraordinary, treasonous behavior that is hard to understand unless you think that the Russians have some extraordinary hold over Donald Trump.
If this is not treasonous behavior, I don't know what is.
It is the case that he attempted to commit treason. He was engaged in treasonous activities against the United States last year, a year and a half ago, and he has every intent of doing it again.
You cannot continue to support a man who is treasonous in carrying out his duties. This is dangerous, and it needs to stop.
If I said to you, I tell you what, I will ship your country the military aid you need to stop Vladimir Putin from continuing his invasion westward, if you will dig up dirt
on Hunter?
On the guy that I think I'm running against and now trailing 14 points in every poll. Now, would that be a bribe or would that be extortion? What would that be? What do we think?
I think it would be
treason.
There you go. The drones droning on and doing it with a smile. He's guilty of treason and he's going to commit more acts of treason. Just so that you know, treason, treason, treason. It's right there with Russia, Russia, Russia. It's right there with collusion, collusion, collusion. Trump, Trump, Trump. 9 years. And so for them to now feign shock, they're appalled, they're disgusted. That Tulsi Gabbard, you had not just the talking heads, you had historians, you had Politico, you had the major news outlets, you had members of Congress. And then you had a lot of them out there calling for violence. Well, a couple guys took them up on that. And that's being nice, saying that they acted alone. I mean, Crooks tries to kill him, and then we never hear anything more about Thomas Crooks. What these people have nearly gotten away with. Who has carried out acts of violence, raids, assassination attempts, lawfare? Who has been on the receiving end of that the most over the past 9 years, especially the past 4.5 years? Carolyn Leavitt, she addressed this to her friends in the media in that press conference yesterday. Play clip 20.
And no one has been a victim of the weaponized government more than President Trump, not just because of this political scandal. You all recall his house was raided. So I think, you know, it's very disingenuous for people to say, how dare they speak of former President Obama about this based on evidence and based on intelligence when the former president of the United States, Donald Trump's home was raided when he was forced to sit in a Manhattan courtroom and many other courtrooms across the country for crimes he never committed when he was impeached and indicted, and the entire country witnessed that. That's the weaponization of justice. Now the president is back because the American people see the truth. Nearly 80 million Americans reelected him back to this office, and he believes that we need to have justice and accountability. And I think the nearly 80 million Americans who reelected him agree with that.
She, going back to Tulsi, and this is all in the morning brief. We have a great summary there that it's the opposite of what Obama and his people were out there saying for years. That Putin actually had dirt on Hillary. You know, and how about that? I didn't even comment yet on the tranquilizers and her. She was unfit mentally. I mean, how is this possible? How do they get away with this? These frauds. All this fakery, the phoniness. They had to practically throw her into a van like a rag doll because of whatever she was on at the time. But again, Tulsi has revealed that Putin actually had dirt on Hillary. And if he wanted Trump to win, like the dear leader said, that was the big lie from the beginning. Well, he would have released all that dirt on Hillary before the election. He didn't release it. He wanted to use it to blackmail her after he thought she would win the election. Again, the exact opposite of what they've tried to sell us on. Snake oil salesmen, all of them. Propagandists. And they do it with pride. Oh, yes, a nice smile. Here's Tulsi Gabbard talking about, again, the dirt that Putin had, not on Trump, but on Hillary. Clip 21.
And the important point here is that if they were trying to influence the election, as President Obama and James Clapper and John Brennan, everybody said they were doing in order to support Donald Trump's election, they would have released the most damning of that information, some of which I detailed here. You'll find the rest in the report, prior to the election, to help Donald Trump win. They specifically withheld what they had on her, the most damning information, because they thought that she would win the election. They had plans to release it just prior to her inauguration to, again, sow discord and chaos in America.
So the exact opposite. of what Obama's liars were out there saying. My Father and America Under Attack, again, a great time to go back and revisit this, to just see how accurate it was. I mean, this first came out in 2013, so 12 years ago. We've been telling you since then that America has been under attack. And now everyone else is coming around to it. I mentioned that podcast title on Steve Bannon. The 16-year plan to destroy America. My father talks about these illegal investigations. Again, ordered by Obama. Goal number one was to continue. This is that transition period, 2016 to 17. It was to continue the fraudulent DOJ FBI Stop Trump operation initiated by James Comey, Andy McCabe, and their crew, technically named Crossfire Hurricane. We've got to find a way to keep the investigation going. We've got to find a way to turn it into a special counsel investigation. But then the second goal number two, was to bury the illegal action, to create the cover-up needed for everything that took place in the Stop Trump operation. That second goal is one most people have overlooked, but it is the most important. They have tried to cover their crimes. They were committing crimes even before Donald Trump came in. I mean, forget about the ones that they were committing all through his first term and then on through to running the second time and then the third time. They were committing crimes and they had to cover it up. And that was the purpose. Listen, the intel assessment right up until December 7th is, Russia didn't meddle, at least not in a way that influenced anything. It didn't turn one vote or change anything. And then after that, on a dime, I mean, they pivoted on a dime. Obama said, nope, we've got a new assessment. And it's coming right out of my head, right out of my brain. And that is that Russia interfered to help Trump win. And the same day, the Washington Post, you see, you can't do it without the regime media. The same day, the Washington Post and the New York Times says, hey, guess what? Putin did interfere. It was rigged. It was hacked. Trump, Russia collusion. That was the firmly established narrative that stayed there for years. And even though Devin Nunes, the Horowitz report, John Durham uncovered all kinds of corruption, the 2020 review uncovered all kinds of corruption. It uncovered this treasonous plot, this rolling coup, and no one did anything about it. And so Trey Gowdy can sit back and arrogantly say, well, there's really nothing new. We knew this years ago. Well, why didn't you do something? Why didn't you subpoena Obama to come before your committee and to get to the bottom of this? Instead, they, like so many Democrats, they move on from Congress and get their little cushy job, say the provocative things. There's a lot of big talkers. But what, like Sundance said, what good is all this knowledge, all these revelations, if the criminal actors are not held to account? So we shall see how that this plays out, but it's nice to see a good cop relentlessly going after all of these dirty cops. There's so many of them. I'm going to have to cut it off there. I've got all these clips from Dinesh D'Souza. I mean, he knocked it out of the park yesterday in his podcast. Maybe we can play a few of them on tomorrow's show, but I want to reserve, it's already going to go a little overtime, so we won't charge you for any of those extra minutes, but this is our delightful interview, or Sam's anyways, with 10 of our campers here at the 2025 Summer Educational Program.
Welcome to a special segment of the Trumpet Daily. The SEP program, Summer Educational Program, is in full swing here at our headquarters campus. We have PCG youth come in for 3 weeks out of the summer, and they come in from all over the world. Mr. Armstrong said this is the most important demographic that we can be reaching is the church's young people. Mr. Armstrong started these camps, and the PCG has been hosting these summer educational programs for over three decades now. For this special segment of the Trumpet Daily, we brought in one camper from each dorm. They're going to give us their analysis of the SEP program. We're going to get inside looks on what goes on here during the summer. This is far and away the largest collection of guests that we've had for the show. Welcome to the 10 SEP campers that we have with us today.
Hi.
Hello there.
You can say hello. Get as close to the mic as you need to. Like I mentioned, just tell us your name, where you're from, and then how many years of camp you've been to for the first time that you answer. And then just throw in any fun comments that you have as well. What made you want to attend the SEP program this year? Ethan?
I'm Ethan Martinez from Hazel, Texas. And a big part that really pushed me to come to camp again was trying to get better from last year, because this is my second camp. So that was a big part.
Gabe? You can just pass him the mic.
Oh, yes, sir.
My name is Gabriel Lowe. I'm from Arkansas City, Kansas. This is my fifth SEP. And the reason I want to come is because this is my last SEP that I'm going to be able to come to. And I just really wanted to come one last time to give it my all, to just have the best SEP experience possible, and to also help the younger campers, the first and second year campers, just have their first experience be an absolute blast.
Great. Maddie?
I'm Maddie Stewart. I'm from Cottondale, Florida, and this is my fourth camp. It's also my last. And similar to Gabe, I wanted to come to help the other younger campers, and this year has really been the best year for me doing that, just being one of the older girls in the dorm, and it's really helped my experience, and I hope it's helped the younger girls in my dorm's experience as well.
Great. Isaiah?
Hello, my name is Isaiah Stepter, and I'm from Gorville, Illinois. Very, very southern, not near Chicago at all. This is my third SCP, and the reason why I wanted to attend this year was just to learn to be a leader. Getting kind of closer to being one of the older ones, so I just want to learn this year.
Great. So for, I guess all of you have been to camp. Who has been here more than three times? Okay, close to everybody. So for those that haven't been here as often, what is maybe a lesson that you've learned early on, or like a goal that you have for the future SEP? Or for those of you that have been here longer, what's a piece of advice that you would give to a younger camper? Zach?
Go, buddy.
Thank you, Mr. Livingston. My name is Zachary Visconti. I'm currently in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and this is my fourth camp. One of the biggest pieces of advice that I can give to newer campers is just kind of putting yourself out there. There's definitely, in previous years, great activities that are not as common to do in everyday life. So trying something new and putting yourself out there will really help you have a good camp.
Great. Tiara?
My name's Tiara. This is my third camp in America. I'm from Australia. And I'd say for younger campers, just give everything your all, because the days here when you're in pain and you're hurting and it's hot, those are the days that you'll miss when you go back home and you get post-camp depression. And you'll be wishing that you were back at camp in pain again.
Corbin?
Hello, my name is Corbin Powell. I'm from the UK. Fun fact about this place, Bricktown was made from the sand quarries in my hometown, just to let you all know. Anyway.
Bricktown in Oklahoma City was made from bricks.
From the same
in England.
From my hometown, yeah.
Leighton Buzzard. A fun fact.
Yeah, fun fact.
From Leighton Buzzard, specifically.
Buzzard specifically.
Wow, what a connection.
It says it. Anyway, encouragement to the youth. Anyway. So, my advice to the younger campers is enjoy it. It's not just to be here to do sports. It's to have fun. You're here to play with Ethan. You're here to play with Isaiah, my man. We're all here. Gabe is just a great example. He's here to have fun. He's here to entertain himself. Same with Zach. We used to call him Mickey Mouse. Look at him now. Have fun.
Thank you, Corbin. Anyone else? What, in your mind, makes SEP special? Why is this camp special Emma.
Hello, my name is Emma Bergsma. This is my fourth year at SEP, and I come from Canada in Ottawa. And so I think one of the biggest thing about SEP is just how much of a family relationship it is. It's so much, when you're in your dorms and when you're doing activities, everyone's encouraging you, everyone's building you up, you're in your family. And I think that's one of the biggest things that makes SEP such a special thing.
Great. Maddie?
I also agree with Emma, but I think that one of the biggest special things about SEP is that the themes that are set for us this year is Give God Victories. They're really emphasized throughout the entire camp, and it's pretty much the only, I think it is the only summer camp you could go to in the world that will encourage you to be a warrior for God or a warrior in any way and to fight battles throughout your entire life.
Great. Grace.
I'm Grace Bergsma. I'm from Ontario, Canada, and this is my fourth year of camp. Something that camp SEP here in Oklahoma really makes it special is that it's God's camp on God's land with God's people, and it's just really nice, a concentrated place where a bunch of God's people are, so you can sharpen iron with iron.
Great.
Canadians in here.
Zach.
Hello, it's me again. Kind of going off of what Grace said, the environment in general, just having everybody pushing to have a good attitude and everybody trying to push themselves to be the best that they can. It just really, all around, all the excitement and the motivation comes from everybody around you.
Maybe you guys can keep scooching in. You're getting out of the light and you're in the dark over there. Come a little closer here, I'll move this thing. Keep scooching, keep scooching. All right, now you're glowing again. All right, Tiara?
I think one big thing that makes SEP so special is that there's over 100 teens here, and God has brought us here, and externally it looks like just like a sports camp, maybe even a military camp, but it is like the best camp we could be at, and we're all here, we're working towards the same goal, we're like-minded, we're growing, we're building friendships, and we're having so much fun at the same time.
So what are some unique things about camp? Like you mentioned, it can look like a military camp because you're staying in giant tents. When I was a camper, and this was 15, 20 years ago-ish, we stayed in the dorms. So being in the tent would be a huge change. What are some of the things about camp? Or maybe give some of the viewers an inside look at something that maybe they wouldn't know or expect about a day in the life of an SEP camper. Emily? Oh, this is Emily's first answer, right?
You campers.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Emily Herkus, and this is my fourth camp, and I'm from England. One thing that we get to experience every morning almost is get a forum from each of from the ministers here, and it's just really good because every morning it sets kind of like a goal for us, and we get to work towards that every day, and even at the end of camp, we get to look back on all the forums and the advice that we've been given.
Great. So you start each day forum, then you're going to sports, and then tell us maybe a little bit about the clinics, because that's again something that we didn't have when I was a camper. So what's special about that? Maybe explain a little bit of those details. Ethan.
Well, here this year we actually have clinics. Oh, well, thank you. We have clinics this year, and so essentially what it does is it takes you into more depth when you're trying to look into certain things. Like right now I'm in the wrestling clinic, so instead of just getting like 2 days of it, you get specific time to grow a lot faster and harder, because they really push you a lot harder in those clinics to get as much as you can out of it. It's 2 days and you get like 2.5 hours or so. So you really have to push yourself, and I really like that about the clinics this year.
Great. Gabe?
Thank you. One thing I really like about the clinics is I'm actually in wrestling with Ethan after this, but there's just such a wide variety of them. Like, you can play table tennis, you can play actual tennis, you can go on wakeboarding. There's even a running clinic that we had a couple days ago, and that was just, there's just such a big, wide variety, and honestly, everyone here has their own interests, and I feel like SEP really thinks about that, and they don't force you into, like, whatever they want you to do. They have this wide variety that you can choose what you want to do, and you can also learn new things, which is really nice, especially for those who don't get out as much.
Great. Corbin.
Well, in the clinics, you are also getting taught by people that enjoy the clinics themselves. Like, as Gabe said, wrestling, you've got Matt Castillo. That man is a beast. You must just love wrestling. And he obviously knows how to do it quite well. For me, I just love golf. And I've got Mr. Herkus, and he's like talking about how the wind has just changed slightly to the left. And he's figured out how to perfectly hit the golf ball. It's just perfect. You get taught by someone that you actually trust to tell you what the right thing is.
Great. Isaiah?
I agree with Corbin. Also, you get to learn more if you want to do a certain thing. For example, I have dance later, and I would like to learn more moves and work better on the dev drop and not drop anyone. I've never dropped anyone, so your girls can trust me.
Sure. So what is a special lesson or maybe a story from SCP that you feel like has helped you back at home, maybe serving in your congregation or just helping out more with your families, like, I guess, just something maybe from dorm life or from playing sports, learning how to push yourself more? Emily?
One thing it's taught me is to just have a positive attitude. Like, smiling makes all the difference. Even if you feel down, just smile and you will start to feel better.
Got a lot of smilers here. Maddie?
One of the lessons I've learned from previous camps and being in the dorm is just to get along with everyone around you. I have 4 siblings, and sometimes it is a struggle to get along, but at camp you have a lot more people that you're dealing with every day, and you treat each other as siblings, as sisters for us and as brothers for the guys. And it's just a really good lesson to learn when you're all together in these army tents, sleeping on cots. I mean, not everyone's sleeping well. So there's always struggles, and you just have to really learn to get along, to push yourself in different ways than you could learn at home.
Great. Zach.
Thank you again. One thing we actually learned this morning from a forum from Mr. Hyde is teamwork. And he pointed out quite a few things, how there are so many teams that we're in right now, with the entire camp being a team, our dorm being a team, and even our family being a team. And it really puts into perspective that the God family is a team as well, and we need to have that team mindset and not be focusing on ourselves.
Great. Emma?
Similar to what Zach was saying, I think one thing even they've emphasized this year is always look out for those in need. I mean, in your congregation, you're always like looking at where you can help out, especially because we are the younger ones in our congregation. We're able to help more and just find those holes where we can serve better, we can push ourselves more, even at home. And I think that's one of the biggest things, just always look out for those who are in need.
Great. Grace?
Something I learned from camp is the willingness to help. Before camp, I was willing to help, but not as much, whereas my parents asked me, or not even have to ask me, to go, like, do the dishes or the laundry. I'm just on top of it and looking for what to do and what to help with.
All right, for some of you older campers, what is, like, a change you've seen in yourself, if you can think back 4 or 5 years ago to your first camp, and a change that SCP helped you make in your life? Tiara?
At my first camp, I was really uncoordinated. Like, I could run and that was about it, but I was really bad at all the sports, and that was in SCP at Australia. And my counselor really encouraged me to work on sports and getting coordinated. And so I just started running a lot more and playing sports, and then throughout each camp I've been to, I've progressed a lot, and it's such a big difference. Even just like staying fit throughout the year, when you come to camp, it makes such a big difference in how well you play sports.
Great. Emma, you had your hand up for a moment.
Sorry, what was the question?
Oh boy, what did I ask? Oh, how SCP has helped you grow over the years after 4 or 5 years of camp, what you've learned.
I think one of the biggest things is just how, like, I was super shy my first year. A lot of people that might know me then, I just could barely talk in, like, a group of people. And then every year, and so I think every single year, like, the people are super supportive. I always thought, like, I would be judged or something, but I just learned to overcome that fear and just give myself more to my dorm and then also like back at home to the congregation and to conversations just in general.
Look at you now on the Trumpet Daily. What transformation. Anyone else? Zach?
One thing definitely being an older camper is just stepping into leadership positions. During your first camp, you're normally more shy and kind of more, we'll see, how do I put this? Yeah, we'll say that. But just kind of, you don't want to put yourself into, like, you don't want to take as many opportunities your first camp. But once, as you get older, you start to realize that stepping in those leadership opportunities, it's what God's giving you, and you want to take those when you see them.
Great. Grace?
Just going off of what Zach said, my mindset has changed from my first camp. It was just following everything and learning the ropes, but now it's helping those who are new, and just a couple of, I know, goals, and you guys were saying, just helping out the campers and going into that leadership role, just even helping out the counselors with a couple of the dormmates.
Yeah, great. What is maybe a piece of advice you would give to a young teen who's maybe on the fence about coming to SCP to really just try to encourage them? Ethan?
Thank you. One thing I will say is that you should just really go for it, because it's really going to help you envision your role a lot better. As like for me, I'm a male, so we have to be leaders. And that's just a big part of the role of being a male and being female. You know, you had to like be more supportive and stuff. So it really gives you a big picture of that. And if you really step out to join camp, it'll really show you where you're supposed to be in according to God's plan and everything. So
great. Maddie?
Similar to what Ethan was saying, it is the only place that you can come to learn your roles better and to be for this camp really supports what your parents are teaching you at home. And if you don't have that family life even, then you come here and you get a completely different experience. And yeah, it is hard. It's very hard. And no matter how fit you stay throughout the year, you're going to have some tough times just because SEP is an experience and it's not just sports. There's so many different things you learn. But if you come willing to pray about every opportunity and every problem that might arise, you're going to enjoy SEP so much, and it is going to be the highlight of your year, and you're going to remember it forever.
Wonderful. Gabe.
Kind of like Maddie said, SEP will really push you. Like my first SEP, I was into sports, so I was pretty fit, but it really made me realize that like I wasn't all that. Like I was having a really hard time keeping up with everyone with all the sports, and even just waking up at 6 a.m. like all my summer, like that's when I want to sleep in, and putting away all your bedding, things like that. Like it'll really build really good habits in your life that you can apply at home. Like waking up at 6 and then getting in your prayer and study, putting up all of your bedding, and then, you know, going downstairs, helping your parents out with the kids if you have younger siblings, and even, you know, making your own breakfast, just simple little things like that can go a long way.
Great. Tiara?
What's the question? advice
that you would give to a younger teen.
That SEP can literally be life-changing. Like, it's not an exaggeration to say that, and you cannot come here to God's campus and have any doubt in your mind that this is where God has placed his name, and it's his church, and it just will make you so sure, and like it is so inspiring to be here, and you'll leave a different person, especially if you come to multiple camps.
Awesome. Grace, a couple more answers.
I think if you're on the fence about SEP, don't be, because when you're in a field conversation, congregation. Whoops. When you're in a field congregation, you don't have as many teens. There might be one or two around your age, maybe not even your gender. But when you come here at camp, there's just 120-something,
mm-hmm.
I think.
113
campers, and it's just so many people, so many new friends, and then you keep with them for the years on, so you really just build relationships.
Wonderful. All right, Isaiah.
I just say just go all out for it. Back in 2022, I was 4'8" and only 60 pounds. I was pretty nervous when I got to camp because I'm looking at Winston Oakleaf, who is like 6-something. And it was kind of scary, but I went all out and just went for it, and it turned out to be really enjoyable.
Great. All right, some parting comments. Maybe if you wanted to just make a comment about anything camp-related, a funny story that you want to share with your parents or friends back home, a piece of advice that you have for somebody, keep it short and appropriate.
Remember to double-check your baggage if you're from overseas. You will not be able to get anything here.
You will not be able to what?
Get anything here. The shops don't have the same stuff. Doesn't look right.
We don't have SPF 2000 sunscreen.
It's 3000 for me.
All right. Well, that is about what we have time for. Anything else? Any more serious comments or something you're thankful for at camp that you're very appreciative of? Let's go with, maybe we can end with Zach.
Oh boy, thank you. One thing that I'm very thankful for is my dorm, for sure. I feel like we have one of the most unified dorms, and just being, especially with having the counselors that we have, they just really help to add to the unity that we have throughout the dorm.
Yep. All right, campers. Well, thank you for joining us on the Trumpet Daily. You can wave goodbye to everybody.
Bye, Mom.
You can say bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Goodbye.
All right.
Goodbye, people.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Mr. Livingston.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Livingston.
Thank you for watching this special segment of the Trumpet Daily. If you want to keep up with SEP Camp, you can follow the latest news at PCG News on Twitter. There's tons of pictures of all of the camp activities, so you can keep up with that there. And as always, if you have any feedback for the Trumpet Daily, you can send that to td@thetrumpet.com.